Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study. Today we're going to look into Revelation 18, verse 6, and see how that may give us a hint as to when the end may come in May 21, 2034. Way back shortly after May 21, 2011, a possible date for the end was brought to my attention in my study of Revelation 18, but I did not want to share it with anyone because it seemed so far away, and I didn't want to discourage anyone more than they were already discouraged when the complete end of all things did not take place in 2011. But the spiritual end did come, making it impossible for anyone else to be granted eternal life and salvation who had not already been so blessed, which was also the beginning of the complete end of this whole world to come relatively soon on the last day of Judgment Day in which we now find ourselves. And even now, in revealing this date to you, I certainly do not want anyone to think that this date is a sure thing by any means. But it is, at this time, merely a possibility. The end of all things could take place at any time now. It appears that all the major signs given in the Bible which had to take place before Christ would come have already taken place. The fig tree already came into leaf in 1988, and you can click here, then scroll down to the subheading, The Fig Tree Parable, to learn more about that. The falling away of the Christian churches has already taken place, and you can click on 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 11 to learn about that. The rebuilding of the tabernacle of David has already taken place during the church age, Acts chapter 15, verses 13 through 17, and it was completed upon the last of God's elect becoming eternally saved on May 21, 2011. The true Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, who is the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Satan himself, already came. And he already came and sat down to rule in the church. And he spiritually destroyed the church, which was the temple of God, the tabernacle of David, Acts 15, again, verses 13 through 17, as God's judgment against them due to all their idols, counterfeit gospels, false doctrines and practices, false prophets and teachers, and false pastors who could not bark to have warned their sheep of God's wrath upon them, for judgment had to begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. The Great Tribulation has already taken place from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, according to the proven biblical timeline of history. And that Great Tribulation that was against all the Christian churches now continues against the whole world, ever since, May 21, 2011. The two witnesses have already prophesied and been killed, and we learned about that in Revelation 11, 1 through 6, and 11, 7 through 10, that you can click on to learn about. The rise of false Christs, that is, counterfeit gospels, and false prophets doing signs and wonders to deceive God's elect, if that were possible, has already taken place and still is taking place. Even Judgment Day itself has already begun on May 21, 2011. We are now simply and primarily to declare judgment against all those still in the Christian churches until Judgment Day, which consists of many days, comes to its end, and we are raptured to heaven. The only thing, therefore, now left to be completed is God's judgment on the church and the world, and exactly how long that judgment will last has not been revealed with absolute certainty to anyone, as far as I know. All we know is that Judgment Day that we are now in ever since May 21, 2011, will last many days, according to Isaiah 24:22. If anyone thinks he has more information on the timing of the end, please share it with me. Anyway, let's look more closely at Revelation 18, verse 6, to see how it may be giving us a hint as to the timing of the end. The verse reads, "Reward her," that is Babylon the Great, "even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double." Literally, in this verse, we first read a command to reward her. And in our context of Revelation 18, her is Babylon the Great, "even as she rewarded you." The same Greek word here translated as both reward in the command to reward her and in the phrase "even as she rewarded you" in the King James version of this sentence is better translated, I think, as "render to," because this reward should not in any way be construed of as a reward in the positive sense that Babylon the Great is to receive due to her good works. But this reward is a negative reward or payment that Babylon the Great deserves for her evil works. Therefore, for clarity purposes, it is better to just translate the word "reward" as "render to," as does the American Standard Version. And so our verse now reads, "render to her," that is Babylon the Great, "even as she rendered to you." That is, whoever the "you," and it's a plural "you," are, they are commanded to render to Babylon the Great as even she rendered to them. Now, who is the "you," plural in the Greek, that are commanded to render to Babylon the Great as even she rendered to them? According to our context, the "you" refers back to "my people" in verse 4, which states, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Therefore, the "you" who are commanded to render to Babylon the Great, even as she rendered to them, must be God's very own people, the elect. And so we, the elect of God, the true people of God, are commanded to render to Babylon the Great, even as she rendered to us. But now, how did Babylon the Great render to us? To answer this question, we must first remember who Babylon the Great is. She is the kingdom of Satan. And the kingdom of Satan consists of Satan, who is her leader, the fallen angels, and all the unsaved people in the churches and in the world. Namely, what we can call this world. And now, returning to our question, how did Babylon the Great render to us? Well, she, the world, had so infiltrated and spiritually destroyed the Christian churches worldwide with all her counterfeit Christians, gospels, teachings, and practices, which churches were at that time before May 21, 1988, the spiritual homes of the elect, to make them a part of herself, Babylon the Great, and even leading the elect themselves into spiritual fornication with her. And you can click on Revelation 17:2 to learn about that, then Revelation 18:3, paragraph 4, and Revelation 18:9. That by May 21, 1988, according to the proven biblical timeline of history that you can click on to see, God began His final judgment first upon all the Christian churches worldwide by completely removing Himself, the Holy Spirit, from them to allow for Satan and his kingdom, Babylon the Great, the world, to completely take rule over them all by September 7th of 1994. And once again, you can click on 2 Thessalonians 2:1 through 11 to listen to that and see why leave all the churches. You can click on that as well. Anyway, Satan took complete rule over all the churches by September 7th of 1994, thus making all the Christian churches worldwide, the whole house of God, not just the Catholic Church, as many Protestants have wrongly believed, one and the same as Babylon the Great, even to this day. For judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. So ever since judgment did begin at the house of God on May 21, 1988, by the removal of the Holy Spirit from them at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988, the whole church or house of God, that is all Christian churches worldwide without exception, became known as Babylon the Great, which is also the great whore and mother of harlots, written of in Revelation 17 that you can click on to learn about. Now our verse continues by saying, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. Immediately, we ask, why are we, the elect, commanded to render to Babylon the Great, that is all the people still in the Christian churches worldwide, double according to her works? Once we understand better what Babylon the Great, that is Satan and his kingdom, did to God's people in the churches, it will be easier to answer this question. We read in John chapter 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You see, Satan and his kingdom did not enter the sheepfold or Christian churches by the door. For we read in John 10, verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In other words, Satan and his counterfeit Christians and demons did not enter the sheepfold or Christian churches through the door, Jesus Christ, but they are the ones that Christ said climbed up some other way. They are all the counterfeit Christians and fallen angels who have infiltrated all the Christian churches worldwide without having gone through the door, Jesus Christ, to be saved. Therefore, Christ would say, they are thieves and robbers. And what do thieves come to do? We read in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is what Satan and his kingdom did to the Christian churches. He spiritually stole, killed, and destroyed them to make them a part of his kingdom, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. But then God's patience with his churches ran out. And due to all their increasing amount of sin with false doctrines, false practices, false gospels, false prophets, and false gods or idols, he finally and completely gave them up by removing his Holy Spirit from them all and releasing Satan from the pit on May 21, 1988, in which he had been bound ever since being cast out of heaven at the cross, to use Satan to bring his judgment against the whole church. That is, namely, all the Christian churches worldwide by the 23-year-long Great Tribulation until Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, after which God is continuing to use Satan to bring Great Tribulation, not only against the whole Christian church, but now also the entire world. But let's get back to answering the question. Why are the elect commanded to render to Babylon the Great, now including all the people still in the Christian churches worldwide, double according to her works? Remember, we found that the works of Babylon the Great were those of a thief. Babylon the Great, that is the kingdom of Satan, spiritually stole, killed, and destroyed the Christian churches. And so, how should such a thief be punished? We read of the punishment for a thief starting in Exodus chapter 22. There we read in verse 4, if the theft is certainly found in his hand alive, whether ox or ass or sheep, double he repays. And again, we read in Exodus chapter 22, verse 7, if a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. And we read in Exodus chapter 22, verse 9, for all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challenges, that is, claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and when the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. We even see this principle requiring the one who has taken or stolen from another to have to pay back double of what was taken or stolen in the case of Job, where we all know God allowed Satan to take away or steal all that Job had except his very life. But in the end, God, who was responsible for taking away what Job had, obeyed his own law to restore to Job double what he originally had. We read in Job 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice, that is, double as much as he had before. Thus, we see that a thief or a robber or anyone who took from another was to pay double whatever they stole or took, except if it were for oxen or sheep that were still living and not yet sold. And that was a special situation in Exodus 22, verse 1. And so we begin to see why Babylon the Great, now all the Christian churches worldwide ever since May 21, 1988, are to be rendered double punishment. They are to be rendered double for their theft of the Christian churches, because that is the rendering or payment required by the law for a thief. Now, we know that God and the elect brought the first part of the double punishment upon Babylon the Great during the 23-year Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, wherein God brought about the end to eternal life and salvation in all the churches, and the elect declared it to be so. God also fed the churches a strong delusion, even to this day, to believe that they were worshiping Christ when in fact they were and still are worshiping the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin or the son of perdition or the abomination of desolation, Satan himself. And all the churches were even further being deluded and still are to believe that eternal lives and salvations are still taking place in and through their churches, when, in fact, the only salvations that were and still are any longer taking place therein are counterfeit salvations of the devil himself, who was given by God to rule over and spiritually destroy them completely for their sins and fornication with the great harlot. The whole corporate church, not just the Catholic Church, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth, and indeed the elect, declared these things to be so. And the elect declared that unless the churchgoers departed out from their churches before Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, into a place outside their churches where they might be saved, or to show that they were already saved by obeying the command of Christ to depart out from their churches, they would be completely spiritually consumed and destroyed on May 21, 2011, when eternal life and salvation became impossible for anyone, anywhere. Not only impossible in or through any of the Christian churches worldwide, but also impossible anywhere in the entire world. So, in accordance with God bringing the first part of Babylon the Great's double punishment against her for 23 years from May 21, 1988 to when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, the elect rendered to her by proclamation of judgment against her. But now, if Babylon the Great, which includes all the churches worldwide, was rendered the first part of her double punishment from the end of the church age on May 21, 1988, to the beginning of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, and this rendering of the first part of her punishment through the proclamation of judgment against her by the elect was for 23 years, as we learned it was, isn't it logical to think that the second part, the double part of her punishment, which would then make the punishment rendered to her exactly double the punishment of what she had already received during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, would be another exact 23-year period, double. 23 plus 23, which would then complete God's double judgment plan against her. The second part being from May 21, 2011 to May 21, 2034. And that would be, as I've said, God's double judgment plan against Babylon the Great. That is, against all the Christian churches worldwide in the world. If so, we might expect the end of all things and the coming of our Lord to take place in the year 2034. Perhaps even May 21, 2034, exactly a double 23-year period from when judgment began on Babylon the Great on May 21, 1988. Thus, as God and the elect brought judgment against all the Christian churches, which had become Babylon the Great for 23 years from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 during the Great Tribulation, so also they continue to bring that same judgment against all the churches for another 23 years to render to her, that is, Babylon the Great, or all the Christian churches, double, because double is what a thief like her who stole away God's church deserves according to God's law. Now, interestingly, May 21, 2034, just happens to land on a Sunday in that year, the Lord's Day, and it is on a Sunday when we can expect our Lord to return, because the rising of our Lord from the dead on a Sunday foreshadowed the rising of all His people from the dead on the last day of this world, which we can expect to be on a Sunday, even as their Lord rose from the dead on a Sunday. Indeed, Sunday also represents the beginning of a new week, a new beginning, and certainly on the last day when God's people rise from the dead to receive their new glorious and incorruptible resurrected bodies, they will have a new week or beginning in the new glorious and incorruptible heaven and earth, where they will spend all eternity with their Lord without any more suffering or sadness, sorrow or pain, and no more death. And before closing, we might also note that the beginning of the year 2034, which will be Nisan 1 on the Jewish calendar and March 21 on our calendar, not only marks the beginning of a new year, but also first begins at the end of the 2000th year from the year in which Christ was crucified. Since 2000 can be broken down into the significant Bible numbers of 2 times 1,000, and the number 2 can symbolize God's people, while the number 1,000 can symbolize the completeness of whatever is in view, and you can click on Bible numbers to see that. Could it be that we are being told that the completeness of God's people, 2 times 1,000, God's people, the 2, 1,000, the completeness, could it be that the completeness of God's people whom Christ was crucified for in the year 33 AD will be revealed to go to heaven in the year 2034, in the year immediately after the 2000th year from the year in which Christ was crucified in. And I'm talking about the Jewish year, not our year. I'll let you be the judge. So, will the end come in the year 2034? We shouldn't count on it. It is simply a possibility that needs much more support from God's Word before a wise person would hang their lives on it. Nevertheless, it seems like a possibility, doesn't it? But what we should focus upon now, really, is doing our best to obey our Lord and do what He has called us to do. Everything else is unimportant in comparison. We were once to bring the gospel to the world in the Great Commission. But since we know that ended when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, and we know that we are now commissioned by the Holy Spirit to bring God's judgment, especially against all the Christian churches worldwide, let's consider how we might do that best in the short time remaining, so that when the end does come, we might receive the crown of glory and hear the following wonderful words from our Lord: "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25, 21, and 23. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.